Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Echo asked Dr. Steve for a fun fact.
The average 190-pound human produces 360 pounds of stool every year. That's a lot of crap. For another fact, please say, tell me another fact. To quit, say, stop.
Tell me another fact.
Have you ever had a corn on your foot? It's called a helomedorum by your podiatrist. For another fact, please say, tell me another fact. To quit, say, stop.
I think she pronounced that wrong. Tell me another fact.
Hiccups are called Singul tuss by doctors. Transient hiccups can be treated by swallowing a teaspoon of sugar dry, if you're not diabetic. Chronic hiccups need to be evaluated by a healthcare provider. For another fact, please say, tell me another fact. To quit, say, stop.
Stop.
Goodbye.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Your show was better when you had medical questions. Hey!
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for all my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the weirdo alternative medicine people at bay. Thank you, Dr. Scott.
My pleasure, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who have never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question, you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider. Or if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347.
Pooh-head.
Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at drscottwm.
Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, Bogan, Bell End, or whatever. We'll explain all that in a little bit. Don't forget stuff.drsteve.com, stuff.drsteve.com for all of your shopping needs. It'll take you straight to Amazon if you want to click through, or you can scroll down and look at all the different cool things we talk about on this show. Some of them more cool than others. But check out stuff.drsteve.com. And this is the last month we're going to be promoting this, so check out noom.drsteve.com, N-O-O-M.drsteve.com. Noom is a weight loss program. It's not a diet. It's a psychology program that will help you in other places in your life, too. Well, it did for me, anyway. Everyone else's results will vary, but if you decide to do it, you can do 2 weeks for free and then get 20% off if you decide to do the three-month program. It's only a three-month program. It's not like some of these other programs you have to do for the rest of your life. And then check out backpain.drsteve.com and then Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. You got anything on there now?
Nothing new.
Nothing new, but there's still stuff there.
There's still stuff there, yes. Come visit. Come visit.
How much crap do you have on there left that you need to get rid of?
Not that much.
Really?
No, we still have some good stuff on there.
So GVAC's favorite thing was stress less, right?
Yep.
Or
stress,
fatigue reprieve.
He loved a fatigue reprieve. I think it was from driving back and forth to Knoxville all those times. So.
Yeah,
he said it's the one thing that made him feel better, you know, when he was driving back and forth all those. Because he drove. It's like hundreds of miles a day.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the complete obstruction of his left anterior descending coronary artery probably didn't help things either, but
no.
But at least you made him feel better.
That's right. And he made us feel better.
He certainly did. God, I still miss that fucking guy. And look at there he is up there playing his guitar with a big old grin on his face.
Laughing at us.
It's
bunch of crazy fools.
Yeah. I mean, he had a huge impact on this show, that's for sure.
Geez.
And I really miss
and
him.
And on us, you know.
And, on us. Well, yeah, well, that's what I meant.
Yep. I mean, personally, us,
For sure.
Man, I mean, great addition to the show. I mean, he was the sanity.
Well, and I have this friend, and I know I've told this story on this show before, but they kind of saw each other at one of our comedy events, and they were both interested. They were both single.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very attractive, and GVAC was, you know, GVAC, and she was interested, he was interested, and they were supposed to get together at this gig that we had set up,
mm-hmm.
that you and I and he were going to play at. It was mm-hmm. going to be our first gig playing out in real life, and then he passed away the week before.
Mm-hmm.
So she has really shitty luck with men in general, and that would just confirmed it for mm-hmm. her.
Yeah, that was a done deal.
Yeah, so bad.
Ugh.
Anyway. Well, anyway, yeah, okay, so we miss him. We miss Fez Whatley. You know, the older you get, you just end up talking about all your friends that you used to have that you don't have anymore. So getting old can kiss my ass, but... What are you going to do about it?
It's a terrible deal.
Yep. It is. It is. But, you know, it's the price
it's part of
it.
Yep.
It's the price of admission.
Yep.
The price of admission of being here is that eventually we have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that regard, it's like everything else. Vacations, the price of admission, well, you got to pay for it.
Yep.
But, you know, you get to stay whatever time you had, and then you got to leave.
Yep.
And then you look at the universe. The universe got a beginning, a middle, and it's going to have an end.
Yes.
So we are, even if you don't believe in, you know, in whatever, a higher power,
mm-hmm.
you live in the universe. You are created in the image of the universe in the sense that you have a beginning, a middle, and an end, just like the universe does.
Yep.
Ooh.
pretty deep stuff.
And I didn't even do an edible today, Dr. Scott.
Yet.
It sure sounds like it.
It sounds like, yeah, it sounds like you've been hanging around.
Anyway, all right, so you have some news stories that you brought. Why don't you whip those at
me? We got a
couple. You can be Robin Quivers today, and I'll be...
A couple interesting ones.
But they don't even do the news anymore, so we can just take that from them.
Oh, cool. Well, yeah, we'll see if we can cover the vacuum they created.
Yeah.
No, my bad.
All right.
No, I apologize. My sinuses are... It is the season. All right, Americans.
Okay, you're all right?
Oh, yeah, shit, yeah.
Because I don't care if you have COVID, because I've already had it. So you can be up here and COVID it up, my friend.
Snorting all over you. No, I'm pretty sure that if... I've probably had it a couple times, just like everybody else.
It's yeah.
Thanks to my vaccination, my real shot, I'm doing pretty well.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Americans are using alcohol to cope with pandemic stress. Nearly 1 in 5 report heavy drinking.
Heavy. How are they defining heavy?
Well, that's what I was looking at. So heavy drinking was described as having had 2 heavy drinking days in a single week.
Well, how are they defining heavy?
Well, and that's what I'm getting to. And now they define the heavy drinking day as 4 drinks for women containing alcohol and 5 drinks containing alcohol for men.
Oh, okay.
So shit.
That is pretty heavy.
Yeah. Well, but you know, the funny thing is, and the reason I brought this up is I read...
Stacey would laugh at that.
Oh, yeah. She'd be like, oh, shit. That's not even close.
Yeah. But the reason, it's amateurs.
Yeah. Bunch of them. That's rookies. But I was thinking... I read an article, it's been a little while ago, but in Britain, they did a study talking about heavy drinking. But to them, it was 8 pints of beer a day.
Nice.
Right. So I'm thinking maybe we should move to England.
I am such an Anglophile. I am a huge Anglophile. I know the SiriusXM show doesn't get there, but the podcast does. And I took my kids, the first time I ever took them out of the country was to jolly old, you know, the homeland. Mm-hmm. And we went to Westminster and we walked. And we got there 2 days after the terrorist attack on Westminster Bridge.
Was it the stabbing thing?
No, it was the car one.
The car one. Okay. Yeah, I remember when you were over there.
Yeah. And, you know, Parliament was shut down and stuff. But, you know, the kids were young. And I guess Liam was... maybe 12 or 13, and Beck would have been 11. But what they got to see was everybody just walking around. Mm-hmm. And there were flowers where the people were getting. I said, listen, what you learn from this is you don't let them change your behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. Well, there was a terrorist attack here a block from our hotel. Yeah. But we, you know, here we are anyway. And they got to see an anti-Brexit march,
okay.
Which in England or, you know, in Britain, the demonstrations are a little different than here. They were holding up signs saying, you know, EU, we love you and stuff like that. And it was very quiet and calm and quite delightful. And the kids got to see political action. But at the same time, we could walk from our hotel to Buckingham Palace and they could climb on the statue of Queen Victoria. And, you know, we went to Westminster Abbey and saw Henry V's sarcophagus and Isaac Newton and all this stuff. And then at the same time, Tacey's job was doing layoffs. So okay. Her phone was going off constantly while we were there. And she was terrified she was going to get laid off. And then when she didn't get laid off, she was upset about the friends of hers that did. So it kind of ruined her vacation.
Yeah.
The boys and I still say best vacation ever. And Tacey's like, that sucked. But anyway, it was, yeah. So anyway, and I am quite the Anglophile, and I like their very civilized attitude toward drinking and eating and stuff.
Yes.
And if you want to watch a great show and learn some UK accents, watch Love Island UK, maybe the greatest show ever on television, and except for maybe the Great British Baking Show. Those two are my favorites.
What's so great about it?
Love Island UK? Yeah. Well, first off, they have a very different attitude toward cursing in that country. And you can say, you know, fuck and shit and you know, on television, and nobody seems to bat an eye.
Okay.
And there was this one woman named Faye, and she is was very outspoken. And when she thought her boyfriend was lying to her, she just laid into him and just, you know, F words and, you know, all these curse words and stuff. And apparently they got more complaints to their version of the FCC than any other any other time that television in the history of television was over Faye's outburst toward Teddy. And even then, their version of the FCC said, no, there were no violations. It's awesome. It's the greatest thing in the world. I don't know why we have to bleep everything out. We're so prudish and puritanical about language in this country, and they're just so free with it. They're calling people the C word. I can't even say it on this show.
No.
And they're just, and then there's some other cool words that I learned. I learned bell end.
Bell end. Not a lot.
Okay, so face, when the boys got, you know, they were over in this place called Casa Amor, and they were all making out with these new girls and stuff, and the women had all been faithful to them. And, of course, the producers had to stir things up, so they send this postcard with the guys all making out with these girls. And she called them a bunch of bloody bell ends. And a bell end, I found, I had to look it up because it was just such a great word, is the end of your penis.
Okay.
You know, it's like the end, you know, the glands. Mm-hmm. The Roman war helmet is like the end of a bell.
Oh, my gosh.
So bloody belly.
Oh, my God.
And knob. It just, you know, and being mugged off. And it just so many great just terms that I will use in my regular, in my regular speech now from now on.
Your vernacular has
expanded. But anyway,
expanded,
so yeah. Yes, get back to where we were. So the Brits' definition of heavy drinking was much more civilized. It's 8 pints.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm very much good. More along now, the lines of that.
The thing about
that makes me feel better.
These kinds of studies, though, is that correlation and causation aren't the same thing. So did they show causation with this, or is it just purely correlation that since COVID, people have increased? And what's the actual increase? Because a lot of times they'll say it's statistically significant, but it's still a very small effect.
It's not covered on here, but okay. But I did see before what they talk about. The reason they did this was because the alcohol sales have increased in the United States.
Yes.
And that's the one thing. But I did read that there's been an increase in stomach cancer during COVID.
What?
That they feel is secondary to alcohol consumption.
Oh, shit.
Now, that's what I read a couple weeks ago, Dr. Steve. And I'll look it up while we're discussing it.
Well, that's a big deal. Okay.
It is a big deal.
This is NPR.org, you know, that great medical journal. Alcohol use linked to over 740,000 cancer cases last year. What?
See, that's what I saw.
Link between smoking cancer is well documented, widely known, but alcohol, fewer than 1 in 3 Americans recognize alcohol as a cause of cancer. Similar in other high-income countries, probably lower in other parts of the world. New study shows how much of a risk drinking can be. At least 4% of the world's newly diagnosed cases of esophageal, mouth, larynx, colon, rectum, liver, and breast cancers can be attributed to drinking alcohol, according to a study in the July 13th edition of Lancet Oncology. Okay, so I'm not trusting NPR on this one. I'm going straight to
Lancet.
So let's see here. So this is Lancet Oncology. I have to accept all cookies before it'll let me read this damn thing. It says, alcohol use is causally linked to multiple cancers. We present global, regional, and national estimates of alcohol-attributable cancer burden in 2020 to inform alcohol policy and cancer control across different settings globally. Blah. Well, I don't like this.
No, it's terrible.
No. And yeah. The thing is, so I would just go, okay, I'll just do cannabis, but I can't do that either. Because
will they check you?
No, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
The last time I did cannabis, I got so frigging paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
I took it at, and this could have been 20 years ago, so everybody just calm the F down. But I took it at 2 in the morning. And I woke up at 6 in the morning, and the paranoia was just crushing. and I couldn't get these thoughts out of my head. And then I kept hearing music down, you know, like a, I'm sure it was just something knocking in the air conditioning, but my brain was interpreting it as like disco music. And it was like, this is awful. So, you know, so I can't, what, I can't drink, I can't do cannabis. What the hell am I going to do? I guess I'm going to do the Trip app, T-R-I-P-P. Check that out. If you have an Oculus, it is the, it's the most fantastic natural high you'll ever do. Let's see here. I just wonder how they are putting these things together. You know, previous estimates of the contribution of alcohol to the burden of cancer have been published, but patterns of alcohol consumption continue to change over time across world regions. Yeah, I wonder what the hell is the mechanism? And they don't give that, you know. It's still
the mechanism.
I mean, are these people cancer? Are these people smoking too? Are they controlling for smoking and other things like fat intake and stuff like that?
Well, you know, the only the first thing that comes to my mind is maybe just inflammatory response, possibly in the stomach, but I don't know about why it would be affecting.
That's what
the,
makes you feel good, though.
Yeah, but why the cancers and all those things? Yep. I don't know. Maybe we can do some homework for next week and find something out.
Yeah. It says, you know, we include cancers of the stomach and pancreas in sensitivity analysis due to evidence suggesting a causal association with alcohol consumption in the World Cancer Research Fund classifications, but an absence of sufficient evidence in the IARC monograph classification. So some of this stuff is still controversial. But again, what they do is they'll take populations and they will try to control for all these variables, and then they'll look at relative risk. And that's really what they're doing.
Okay.
And so relative risk just means that, you know, compared to the other population, if the only variable that's different, and that's almost never the case, is alcohol drinking, and then there's, you know, 20% increase in hepatocellular cancer, you know, liver cancer in that group, then they'll say that there's a causal relationship. They may not know what it is, but the question is, are there hidden variables?
Sure.
And
are they taking pills that are increasing the problem?
Well, who knows?
You don't know.
You have to
tease all that stuff
really
out.
Really be careful. Yeah. Teasing those things out if you're going to do science with this. But, you know, there certainly is not a whole lot of controversy about it. Mm. Now, okay, so here we go. We calculated the effect of alcohol consumption on the incidence of cancer worldwide in 2020 using a Levin-based population attributable fraction method. So we talked about population attributable fraction last time. And that's just, you know, the fraction in the population that's attributable to whatever the variable is that you're looking at. And they did, you know, so they said globally an estimated 741,000 of all new cases of cancer were attributable to alcohol consumption. Damn it. Oof. Okay. So, yeah, we need to do some more research on this to find out how much is too much and make sure that we get right under that line.
Yes. and if we go over, we need to just figure out a way to kind of
is there a way to
balance out the ameliorate the
is there a way to ameliorate this too, yes, you know, with something. Yeah. God, you can't do anything.
No, it's terrible.
This shit pisses me off, you know. I quit smoking. You know, and I started eating better.
Damn it. Right. Eating and exercising
less.
And
well, no, I wouldn't say I'm doing a lot of that, but I'm pretty active.
Yeah.
But I do like my Willets from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And by from time to time, I mean, you know, every night. But I don't get wasted.
No. Well, you know, but you know, if you, on the converse of that is there are some studies, I'm sure, that would say small amounts of alcohol are good for calming the stress and helping,
of course,
you know, thinning the blood just a teeny bit, and maybe renal function, just kind of keeping everything fluid.
Here we go. Drinking up to 10 grams per day contributed 41,000 alcohol attributable cancer case. Well, what's 10 grams of alcohol? Are they talking about the alcohol itself? Because, you know, drinking 10 grams of beer is different than drinking 10 grams of...
Everclear.
Of corn, right. Yeah. Corn squeezins. God dang it.
Yeah, I know it. We were changing subjects.
The highest frequencies of alcohol-attributable cancers were in males drinking from 30 to less than 40 grams per day. I got to figure out how they're what they mean by drinking a certain number of grams per day. I'm assuming that's the alcohol content. So we got to figure out how many grams of alcohol is in one beer. Let me see if Echo knows that. Echo, how many grams of alcohol is in one beer?
One can of beer has 14 grams of alcohol.
What in the hell?
Oh, hell no. Well, I'm screwed.
Screw this. Okay, next topic. Next topic. This sucks.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, here we go. Number two. I've got a new
We topic. Will come back to
we
this.
We will come back to this. So it looks like recently a 33-year-old man noticed over the course of 2 years an increase in some very strange and peculiar medical issues, including fecal matter in his urine.
What?
Which is...
Well, I already know what he has.
Fecal urea. Oh, I do too. As soon as I saw this, I knew what it was. Fecal urea and passing a substantial amount of urine and semen from his anus.
How did he know that? Well, how would you know that you were passing semen from your anus?
I'm sure he didn't know that, but it's probably when he was having certain, you know, like if he's having sex and things weren't coming out the penis the way they normally were.
And they were just shooting out his ass?
I wouldn't think shooting, but I think dribbling probably.
Yeah.
Kind of leaking, I would assume. But it looks like after experience, but it took him having experienced pain in his testicles for a week to go to the doctor. So he had to shit for 2 years.
What?
God bless him, yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Okay.
He said, over the course of 2 years.
Obviously, this guy has a fistula.
Correct.
Between some part of his genitourinary tract and his rectum.
Yep, bladder and rectum, sure.
And it... Well, if it was just the bladder, then he shouldn't have semen coming out of his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he had retrograde ejaculation from some other thing.
Right.
So now, the question is, what caused the fistula? Did he have cancer, or what was the deal?
I do have the answer to that.
Okay, but yeah. I can't believe that he had fecal matter in his urine and he didn't have an overwhelming infection of the, you know, of the urinary tract.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's very strange. Yeah, and certainly over the case.
This is a very odd case.
Yeah, over 2 years, you would have thought it would have been substantial enough for him to say, hey, man, I really probably need to have this out. But anyway, what it looks like, the poor guy had a, it looks like he overdosed on cocaine and PCP.
Okay.
And while he was in the hospital, he had a Foley cath.
Tell people what that is. They don't know what that is.
It's just a catheter they run from the outside through your penis and up into your bladder to help drain the urine from your bladder.
Give yourself a bill!
Okay.
And those, of course, can be kind of uncomfortable, especially if they're in there for a while.
Yeah.
And they hypothesized that it was just below his bladder where there was either an abrasion or a hole occurred or an ulcer or whatever, which caused the fistula to go back towards the rectum.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wild?
That's awful.
Yeah. So, thankfully, they were able to treat it.
Yeah, so what'd they do? Just close the fistula?
Close the fistula, yeah. Yeah, surgery, but it was a combination of, I guess, a urologist and probably a GI doc went and closed it up.
Well, I got one for you. Boy 13 has 2-foot-long electrical cable stuck in his bladder for 3 months after sticking it into his penis to, quote, find out where urine comes from.
Oh.
It comes from the end of your penis.
Oh, geez,
you don't need any more information than that.
No.
So he inserted the cable cord into his penis out of curiosity. And then he was rushed to the hospital after he started peeing blood 3 months later. So he must have lost track of the end of it.
Dang.
And it just retracted into his bladder.
Ooh.
And he went, well,
guess that's the end of that.
I'm not telling mom and dad about this.
I'm pretty sure I'll be in trouble if they find out.
Good Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
Now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so this cord is in his bladder. And it starts irritating the wall of his bladder. He starts peeing blood.
Oh, gosh.
And they did a successful operation to remove the metal wire. And he's okay.
Wow.
Poor little feller.
Poor feller.
Listen, kids, don't do that stupid shit.
No.
Don't stick stuff in your penis. Don't stick stuff up your ass.
No.
And here's the thing. If you stick something, and this is for the adults out there. If you stick something, let's just say, like a zucchini, and you stick that up your ass,
mm-hmm.
there's two rings of muscle, and one of them is the external ring, and then there's a smaller or a less forceful internal ring. And what happens is when those things close, the tendency is for the zucchini to shoot up into your rectum where you can no longer reach it anymore.
It forces up.
And then when you can stick your finger in there and you can touch the end of it, but you can't grip it and pull it back out again.
Nope.
So now you have to go to the emergency room and go, I sat on it. And everybody goes, this guy sat on it. Because that's the fiction that we allow each other to say to each other to save face.
Yep.
Light bulbs, no. They will, when you try to get it out, it will break, and now you've got a lacerated rectum. Do not do that.
Don't do that, no.
Don't put anything up your ass that isn't made to go up your ass. Yep. Now, a whistling butt plug, okay, maybe.
Sure.
And
just
I think
lubricated a little.
We
bit.
Have a we have a phone call about whistling butt plugs. Hang on a second. Let's see.
Hey, Dr. Steve, how's things going?
Good, man. How are you?
It's Danny up here at the Flatus Flute Factory.
Hello.
Just wanted to let you know we're still pumping out flutes.
Okay, so you can tell, number one, that Danny, the creator of the Flatus flute, is from Canada, because he calls them Flatus flutes, and he says a boot. But anyway, let's run that back. You can hear him say a boot.
A boot.
Just wanted to let you know we're still pumping out flutes.
Out.
We've got different colors now. We got a new add-on. It's called Black, and the new scent is you can either get it non-scented or scented, and it's called Supermassive. We got pink. We got purple. We got blues.
Okay. Can you name some other colors?
Yeah, really appreciate it. We also have a $2 off offer if someone types in the code fluid or
fluid
weird medicine.
Okay.
There you go.
Very good. Okay.
Well,
Danny.
Thank you.
So we have absolutely nothing to do with this.
El Zippo.
But I find it to be hilarious. I'm not endorsing it. Don't actually shove it up your ass.
No.
It's a gag gift, so you don't actually want to actually do it. But I did allow them to put my likeness on it. And it's got me grinning. And Son of Fritz is really an incredible artist. And I've described this before, but it's just hilarious. It's a big hairy ass. And it's kind of in the style of Ren and Stimpy kind of thing. And then there's me as the doctor with a big grin on my face because the ass is farting musical notes into my face. And I'm grinning like it's the greatest thing in the world.
It is the greatest thing.
It's so stupid.
It is pretty stupid.
But and he got a plug on Anthony's show, and that's on his front page. So just go to flatusflute.com, and if you want to use the offer code FLUID, again, I have nothing to do with this. I get nothing from it. I don't want anything from it. These are for putting in stockings at your office. Well, probably not the office, but with your close friends, if you're doing, because this would create a hostile work environment if you gave
it
this
would
as
now.
A,
yes,
a secret Santa gift
yes,
in would. The office, but to your close friends.
Yep.
Now, I did that with Tacy's friends. She has a bunch of octogenarian friends, and they had have a Christmas party every year. And I put a bunch of Flatus flutes in their secret Santa presents. And it was just funny. When they opened it up, I was like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
That's great.
We don't hang out with them anymore. I'm so effing mad at them. What's the date on Bobby Kelly? Okay, so it was 5 years ago. I'm mm-hmm. still mad about it. April 23rd, 2016. They all said they wanted free tickets. And because they're Tacy's friends, I carved out the middle two rows.
Right.
You know how many of them showed up? Zip.
Zippo.
Oh, Janelle decided she wanted to have a party, so we're going over. And it's like, you sons of bitches.
Yeah.
So I learned my lesson from that. If you want free tickets from me for an event, mm-hmm. Come see me at the event, and I'll find you a seat.
Yes.
But I had two whole rows that were empty, and I had people come in. I moved them up, you know, from the balcony and stuff. So, because I, you know, that was just embarrassing.
Mm, it was terrible.
But anyway, but it worked out okay, and that was a great show. Bobby, he did the bluest set I've ever seen anybody do in the middle of, you know, kind of rural Tennessee in a theater that used to be, I guess, a classroom or something. I don't know, in this place, in this Renaissance-type center. And it was packed, but he was such a lovable guy that nobody got mad.
Yep.
They all loved it. They were horrified
yep.
by the things he was saying, and they loved him anyway.
Yep.
Now, that is a damn... You know, that's a real performer right there.
It is. It's
when
just,
you can do
to
that.
Say what he said, to have people still like him.
You were there, right?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was horrible.
It was so vile.
It was horrible.
But he did it in such a way that people loved it. And
yeah.
he was just shitting on people in the audience, and they loved that. I mean, his crowd work was was amazing.
Yeah, he's very good.
You know, Voss is great at crowd work, and Florentine did an amazing job with crowd work, but, I mean, Bobby was just destroying them.
Yep. It was something else. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Voss was the last one we've had. That was pre-COVID. And then the next year we were going to do it, they canceled it because of COVID.
Was Voss the last one we had? We had
yeah,
one
that
Allen
was 2019. Down. No, it was August 2019. Okay. And then August 2020, that one got canceled because COVID was just
right.
getting cranked
right,
up
right, right.
around here and people were freaking out. So yeah. anyway.
Yep.
Yep.
Jeez Louise.
Yep. Oh, well. Voss was brilliant, though.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I remember Hashem told him it was time to quit because he got a big, huge lightning bolt behind him. He said, okay, that's it. I'm done.
I remember that. That's right. That was a very good show.
Yeah, it was. All right. Do you have anything else?
No.
There was one story about a kid that put a charging cable up his penis. See if you can find that one.
You just talk
no,
about that.
No, it's not the same one.
Different one now? Okay.
No, this is that one.
A whole different one?
Yeah, this is a different one. That guy put a 2-foot-long electrical cable. This kid, I heard about it on the Creep Off, which, by the way, I want everyone to go over and listen to the Creep Off. It's too late to vote for me, but I think I got 67% of the vote anyway, and thank you to the Weird Medicine listeners that went over there and voted for me. But Vinny and Carl, it's Vinny Paolino and Carl Hamburger, and they do a show called The Creep Off. And what it is, it's a true crime show, but it's a comedy show. And you get to vote on your who you thought brought the creepiest villain to the to the show. And then whoever loses five times first has to spin the wheel of consequences, and that's always something horrible. So it's really fun. There's a lot of audience participation in it, but it's also a great show, and your old pal was on there. My episode was called Concrete Enema. And on the most recent show, which was about the creepiest person from France, they had this story about the kid putting a charging cable up his penis. Did you find it? And it was knotted.
I did. So,
okay, yeah, tell us this one.
He's a UK teen.
Oh, he's from UK.
Yeah, he had to undergo emergency surgery after an attempt to measure his manhood resulted in him getting a USB
yes.
cable lodged in his urethra.
So I guess what he was going to do was take this USB cable, shove it into his penis until it wouldn't go any further, into his bladder, and then pull it back out and measure it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called your...
insane?
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's called urethral sounding. But what you're really measuring is the distance from the tip of your penis to the back of your bladder. You're not really measuring your manhood. If you right. want to measure your manhood, get fully erect and measure it from the base to the tip. That's yeah. it. Don't do what Carl says is wrap it around your testicles twice and then go just beyond the tip and then that's it. And then everybody's got a 10-inch or 12-inch hog at that point.
Yes.
That's not how you do it.
No.
It's from the base to the tip.
Yep. And use a tape measure on the outside.
Yes, of course.
You don't have to stick anything inside.
No. Don't stick anything
in
it.
No, that's crazy. I can't believe we had two of those stories today.
The only thing that's supposed to happen with the urethra, unless a urologist is, you know, doing sounding themselves, they do have sounds. That's what they're called. And it comes from nautical term when they would use sounding to determine how deep the water was.
Oh, okay.
And but they do have these metal sounds that they can put in there. But the only thing that should happen with the tip of your penis is urine or semen should come out.
Yes.
Nothing goes in.
Mm.
Okay?
Terrible idea.
Now, there are some people that like to do urethral sounding for sexual pleasure. I'm not a namby-pamby, just say no person to that kind of stuff, but you have to be very careful, and you need to know what you're doing, and you need to be very gentle, and I can't recommend it to the lay person. Mm. I really can't.
No. Hell no.
Because there's just a lot that can go wrong with that.
Yeah, well, it looks like when he shoved it up there, I guess he kept shoving and shoving. It went up nodding. It went from the x-ray.
Oh, so
like
it knotted
up inside him.
Inside him.
Yeah. Oh,
Lord. So when he, okay, so the end gets, so it got curled around. The end goes in one of the loops, and then when he pulls it out, it pulls it tight.
Yep.
And now he's got a knot, and he can't get it back out.
Now he really has a problem.
So now
he had a problem to begin with.
Right. So he has the USB thing. Yep. So it's probably a lightning cable. And then, so that's very narrow on one end. But the other end has got this rectangular metal thing.
Yep.
And there's nothing he can do now. He's got that hanging out of his penis.
Yep.
If he cuts it off, he's in worse shape.
Yep.
So now he just has to fess up. Yep. So what happened?
And there is a bloody image of that USB cable on the surgical.
Ugh.
Yeah, you can tell.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, and that is a lightning cable, too.
You are correct, Dr. Steve.
Yeah.
Give yourself a bill.
Okay, I will. I'll give myself a bill.
Give yourself a bill!
Cool, man. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
So he didn't wait 3 months like that other kid.
No.
He couldn't.
He couldn't. Because he would have
died. He couldn't pretend it wasn't there. That other kid could just go, well, it just disappeared. I guess it's gone.
Yep. Yeah,
so,
Lord.
Did it say how long it took him to report to his parents what he had done?
No, I guess it wasn't long. I think he crammed it up there and it got knotted up, and he's like, "Oh, I got it."
I was studying alternative methods of computer control.
Well, yep.
All right. God. Okay. All right. You ready to answer some questions?
Let's do it.
Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Here we go. Thank you, Ronnie B.
Hey, Dr. Steve and Dr. Scott. I hope you guys are well.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, man. Zach from Okie City. Just had a question about the appendix. What is it? I mean, is it the only function is to just get inflamed and kill you? Or have we learned in the past few decades that it actually does something else? I mean, I know that,
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. Well, wait, he was going to add something.
The tonsils used to get inflamed all the time, and they would just pull them.
Yep, spleen.
But then they found out that they actually helped the immune system a little bit. So does the appendix actually do anything for you helpful, or is it?
Well, you know, people are still arguing about this. It's this sort of thin tube that looks, you know, like a worm, so they call it vermiform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the lower right-hand part of the abdomen. So when you get appendicitis, you'll usually have referred pain to the middle of the abdomen, and then it will start to migrate down to the lower right side. And usually is accompanied by you can't drop a deuce, in other words, by constipation.
Right.
And then you start getting the insane pain, and it's got to be removed. So, you know, for the longest time, people thought that there was no purpose to it. But it may be, particularly in our ancestors, when they ate some crappy food, which they did a lot.
Sure.
And then puked and got diarrheal illness, and, you know, then, you know, they got cholera or whatever parasites in the water that they were just drinking out of the... You know, you got a dead mammoth a couple of miles upstream, and you're just drinking out of the water because you're too stupid to know anything about any of this stuff. And then, you know, you sort of kill some of your good bacteria. The appendix may have been a repository for beneficial bacteria, so it was almost acted like a probiotic storage unit.
Cool. Yeah, yeah.
And may have replenished the gut with good bacteria. What about in traditional Chinese medicine? Is there anything interesting about the appendix?
No, I was thinking the same thing. Nothing at all in Chinese medicine concerning the appendix at all. Yeah, it's very strange.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yep.
So there was a study that showed that people who had their appendix removed were more likely to get Clostridium difficile colitis, or some people will call it C. diff or Clostridium difficile. And that's a colitis, what we call pseudomembranous colitis, caused by a crappy bacterium that takes over from the good bacteria in your gut and causes these pseudomembranes and then causes diarrhea that can be sometimes life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. So people who had their appendix removed had an increased risk, didn't doom them to having Clostridium, but they had an increased risk of having this Clostridium difficile infection.
Was that right after surgery? I wonder if it was, or down the road. And the reason I
No, it was down the road.
Okay, yeah, okay.
It was down the road. Isn't that interesting?
That is kind of strange.
So, anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it may help to increase beneficial bacteria. And there are immune system functions in there as well. It's not known for that, but like the tonsils, the person mentioned, and like the spleen, which you can kind of do without. And these are three structures, tonsils when you're an adult, the spleen when you're an adult, and the appendix you can do without, may also have some immune function. And so it would be interesting to know whether children, because they're the ones that really are affected by, like if you take the spleen out too early, those kids are really more susceptible to infections by encapsulated bacteria and stuff.
Hmm.
And, you know, when you get older, you can take it out and you do okay. But when you're young, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would be interesting to know that little kids who have their appendix removed, do they have more problem with infections? I can't find a study on that.
Hmm.
But anyway, yeah, isn't that interesting?
That is kind of cool.
I guess I said that on too many things. The appendix is involved in maturation of a certain kind of white blood cell called the B lymphocyte. And these are small lymphocyte subtypes, and they make antibodies. And so it may be that the appendix has some role in maturing these things so that they do their function a little bit more efficiently. Anyway, so it's you can do without it. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of effects when you remove it. And the effects that there are seem to be subtle, but they may be real.
Sure.
So kind of cool. Anyway,
cool.
All right. I labeled this next phone call as WTF, no clue. So let's see what this is about.
Hello to the Motley Crew and to Dr. Steve.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Why don't they take the viruses back into the lab?
Yeah.
And then create a messenger RNA or strand of amino acids and make it so when these things engage and lay on top of the amino acids that their DNA is changed and they become sterile. And then they could grow a bunch of that stuff, then they could release it and it would, you know, oh God, I'm sorry.
Well, okay. I think, okay, then this guy may have called back. Let's see.
Hmm.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, it's him.
Okay. Oh, good, good, good.
Thanks for taking my call. What if we could create a sterile variation of the viruses?
All right. Okay, I get where he's
going. And release them, and then they would entangle themselves with the bad viruses and make them sterile.
Okay, I know where he's going with this. Hmm. We don't have a ton of time left. Sure. So, so they do this with mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and I don't know how effective it is, but they'll take certain mosquito species, and when they mate with the regular mosquitoes, apparently their offspring are sterile, or they can't. They mate, but they don't produce anything, right. And it decreases the population. So I found this idea, actually, although I think this guy was impaired the first time he called back, but the second time it made total
good.
Sense.
Yeah, he sounded good.
Was that if you could engineer a version of this virus that was more transmissible but had no adverse effects on people, then in theory, you could release it into the wild and it would take over and it would push out the Delta variant and the Mu and the Lambda variant, and it would be the new variant and it would be totally benign. Here's the problem with doing that. Is we think we're smarter than we are when it comes to this stuff. And there's no way to know that we could create this, you know, benign version of the virus that's more transmissible. First off, how do you do that if you're not making people cough?
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say that you figured it out. This benign version that's more transmissible, what if it mutates and becomes lethal?
Yeah.
And then can you imagine, I mean, we have enough conspiracy stuff going on now that if they said, well, we're going to release this virus into the community, what the hell people would be saying if we did that. Yeah. So let's not do that.
No. It's actually, the guys had a great idea.
Well, it's a great damn idea. I mean, the idea itself is pretty darn smart. We just aren't smart enough to do it.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that we have got to, use vaccines to the extent that they are worth something. But also, we have to have a therapeutic. And molnupiravir is looking decent. I'm hearing good things about it. And if it's released and it prevents the vast majority of people who have early disease from going to the hospital. And if you don't go to the hospital, you don't end up on the vent. You don't end up on the vent. You don't die. And if there are no adverse effects from this thing, I mean, this is a big laundry list of boxes it's got to tick off. But if it does that, this thing's over. We're done. It's done. We can move on to the next thing, mm-hmm. you know, because therapeutics are where it's at.
Yep.
And I just read an article somebody sent me where Tennessee is talking about reserving monoclonal antibodies for people who haven't had the vaccine. So, and I was like, well, I wouldn't have gotten it in that case. And I'm telling you, I think I was going to die. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how I felt. I mean, my oxygen saturation was dropping. And my fever, you know, when you're 66 and you got a fever of 103, it sucks. I mean, I wouldn't have minded if I'd died. That's how bad I felt. And so in that situation, I would have had to just work it out and take my chances. Now, I had the vaccine. I probably would have been okay. But I certainly was more productive because I had the monoclonal antibody. Does that count for something? I never took a single sick day. I worked throughout the whole thing. I just did telemedicine.
Right.
You know, I was able to do that. People who can work from home who have that and they feel fine, they just have to be in isolation, you know, they can continue to be productive. So I don't know. I mean, yes, we have to save lives. And but I know, and then I know there are people out there, well, you're just rewarding, you know, it's like, okay. You know, if someone is that sick and they haven't had the vaccine, now is not the time to say, I told you so.
No.
But anyway, so it's tough. Jesus. You know, everybody's just mad about everything.
Yep.
So, all right. Okie doke. Let's see. Okay. This is interesting. I don't think we have time for this. No, we don't. This is 12 minutes long. We're going to have to do this next time.
Okay.
One of my buddies sent in a 12-minute story, but I do want to do it next time. Okay. So let's do this one. I can do this one really quick.
Hey, Dr. Steve. Tim in California. Skipping my annual checkup last year, I went back to my doctor this year. I turned 45 this year. And she said, hey, you're due for your colonoscopy, which I thought I wasn't due till 50. She mentioned that they changed the guidance on that.
Indeed, they did.
I confirmed that. Give yourself a bill. Your thoughts on that and what evidence is behind changing that guidance. Thanks very much.
Yeah. So American Cancer Society research have been observing that the risk for colorectal cancer has been increasing in people born more recently. And it's called a birth cohort effect. And people born in 1990 are over four times the risk of developing rectal cancer and double the risk for colon cancer compared with people born in 1950. So it may have something to do with our diet, but it may also have something to do with HPV. There's all kinds of stuff like that that's you know, running around that can cause an increase in this. Right now it's just a statistical thing. So if you're 45, you need to get your first colonoscopy. Or if someone in your family had colon cancer at 45, you need to get your first colonoscopy 10 years before that.
Right.
So that would be at 35.
35, right.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah, that has changed. And, you know, it's just part of being in the modern world. Science evolves, and the statistics are showing us that if we want to prevent people from dying from colon cancer early, early detection is the key.
Correct.
And early detection means getting your colonoscopy earlier.
Get it.
All right. Thanks always go to Dr. Scott. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ovcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, and the Saratoga Skank, Roland Campos, Sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, She Who Owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Steve Tucci times three, the great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Carl's Deviated Septum, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's daughter, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, the great Fez Watley, who will be missed from now until the end of time, and our friend G-Vac, and I guess they're hanging out together, whatever, doing whatever they do after you leave this mortal plane. Who's all of those who supported this show never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, but on demand, because I don't even think those times are right anymore, but other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thanks, Dr. Scott.
Thank you, Luke.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.